Reformed Church.
You know, there is sometimes, you know, benefit to going to the doctor. If you go to a doctor, there's nothing wrong with doing that. You eat food, and Jesus doesn't need to eat food, and you eat food for your health, and you consume food despite the fact that you look at the glorified Jesus, and if we're relating to him, he don't eat food, and we have everything he has, which means that you have the power on the inside to sustain you even beyond food. I mean, there's even blips of that you even see in the Bible where, like, someone would, you know, like Moses would go up to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, and he wouldn't eat or drink anything, which, of course, I wouldn't recommend you doing that, you know, except on like a very specific word from God that your knowledge was ready to take that on. But regardless, there's nothing wrong with going to the doctor or anything any more than there is with eating food or drinking water. You do these things for your mortal body to help out, and you take care of your body. So if there's something beneficial, then do it for your body, and you can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as to what is beneficial for your body. One thing, though, that is true, that's different about a doctor than is with food. Even before I mention that, one similarity is, of course, that you can trust food, you can trust nutrition, and nothing wrong with eating nutritious food. We should, but you can trust that as your health. You can also, there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. You can trust a doctor, though, for your health. That would be wrong. One difference, though, is that with doctors, you know, most don't know the Lord. And even those that do are not necessarily speaking from a biblical perspective. So they're going to tell you things that you got to weed out. And so sometimes, you know, even if you think you should go to a doctor, you know, don't let the fact that you know you're not going to hear a godly perspective keep you from going to a doctor if you think you need to. But you do know, you kind of, once you get to know the truth, you know what you're getting yourself into. It's a little obstacle course when you get there. So that's a truth. And one thing that doctors will tell you many times is because they either are not aware of a solution, or they are aware and just aren't telling you, but doctors will tell you that you need to live with certain things. And I've had doctors tell me, well, you just have to live with that. And once you get to know the truth, I would far prefer you spat in my face than to tell me that. I mean, that is, like, of all things to tell me, that is so, like, obviously anti-Christ. And I'm not saying, I understand they're not doing it for that reason. But doctors will tell you things like that. And I just want to let you know that whether a doctor's told you that, or whether you've just got it in your head or have a doubt, a wavering in your mind about whether or not you're going to have to just live with this, that is a lie from the devil. That is just straight from the pit of hell that you would ever have to live with something. Jesus did not die in vain. I think we actually just posted a social media thing for the church just recently that says that you don't have to live with it because Jesus died with it. Did we do that one? And that's a truth. You don't have to live with things because Jesus died with it. Anything Jesus took on himself, why do you think he was doing that? Just give you an example that every Christian can relate to. Why did Jesus take your sin? Why did he who knew no sin become sin for us? Well, John the Baptist introduced Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. So he took something so that you wouldn't have to be that anymore, right? So that he could take it away from you. So anything you see at the cross is what's old for you as a believer and what you don't have to live with anymore. He took it to take it away from you. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6. It says that our old man was crucified with him. That means that anything you see at the cross is old for you. Jesus was playing your part at the cross and became who you were in sin, in death, in hurt. Literally, there was actually, if you ever wonder about this, there was actual sickness in Jesus' body on the cross. Isaiah 53, I've mentioned this plenty of times recently, but in the LSV, if you read a literal standard version, or if you read a literal translation of Isaiah 53, which is confirmed a good translation by Matthew chapter 8, it says that he took our sicknesses and our pains, not our grief and our sorrow, although he did that also. But Isaiah 53 specifically says that he was, a man of sickness acquainted with pains, or the other way around. And it's so important to realize what Jesus took at the cross, because if he took that, He didn't do it just so that he could be sick at the cross and you could be sick too. He didn't just come to join you like misery loves company. He took your sin so he could take it away from you. He took your sickness so he could take it away from you. Ultimately, the culmination of all these things anyway is death, and Jesus died, which is the culmination of any hurt or any disease or any sickness. It's not that you actually have to see your specific sickness stated in the Bible that Jesus took at the cross, because Jesus didn't take every single kind of hurt at the cross. For instance, if you break a bone, you can be healed of that, but Jesus, there wasn't a bone broken in his body. It's not important that he took every single kind of sickness, because he took what all sickness is. He died. Death is sickness. Sickness is death. Sickness is just death before it's completely finished with the job. And I don't mean that to scare a believer, because I'm trying to tell you that this is our old man, right? That's what I'm trying to tell you, is I'm trying to tell you that you don't have to live with these things, because Jesus did not take these things in vain. Any disorder, any malfunction in your body going on, you do not have to look to your future and just think to yourself, well, I just expect to live with this, or even have a doubt or a wavering in your mind, on one hand, that you have to live with this 1 second more. Today's the day to enter the resurrection. He calls it his rest in Hebrews. But today's the day to enter these things. But not only do you have to not live with it a second more, but you, of course, that also means you don't have to look to your future. And even if you're currently experiencing something, to have a wavering, because that wavering, as long as you keep that wavering going in your mind, maybe I just have to live with this. Maybe the doctor was right. Maybe what I'm thinking, you know, this has been going on for 20 years, so maybe I have to live with this. You know, as long as you still don't want the sickness and you want to just release that because you know Jesus took it, as long as that's still you, you can still be healed of that. Jesus saw that lame man by the pool of Bethesda, and he knew he had been there a long time, and that's why Jesus asked him and said, do you want to be well? Because when you're like this a long time, when you have a condition for a long time, you can just get used to it. A lot of people will even seek the Lord for healing about other things, but because they've had something for a long time, they've learned to live around it. And I'm not saying don't take care of yourself, but I am saying that there's a mentality that creeps in that says, I can live with this. Okay, that's not a conducive mentality to receiving healing from God, because it's not acknowledging the cross and that he took it to take it away from you. But as long as in your mind you still acknowledge that fact, you're able to see this manifestation in your life. And for anyone, no matter your mentality, you don't have to, even if this is the first time you're hearing, you do not have to live with any kind of bad habit, with any kind of behavioral thing. You don't have to live with sickness. You don't have to live with disease. You don't have to live with aging. You don't have to live with, no matter what it is, any one of those negative things that you see at the cross, there's a reason why he took it. There's a reason why he took it. And again, people might be skeptical, and I'm going to stop with this, but people might be skeptical about, well, you're saying Jesus took this or that, and I don't believe that Jesus was really sick at the cross, and I don't really believe that Jesus took all our problems at the cross. And I know I say this a lot, but it's because it's so relevant to the deficiency in Christians' minds today. And that is that the only two problems that I have to prove to you that Jesus took to convince you that he took every single problem is sin and death. And I'm going to say it again, and I will be saying this until Jesus comes back, so everyone just kind of get comfy in hearing this explanation. Two problems came into the world through Adam. That's it. Sin and death through sin. That means every single problem that you go through can be categorized under one of those two things, because it was perfect before sin and death, and the only two problems that came into the world during what we would call the fall, as it's sort of coined in the church, is sin and death. And every single Christian knows that Jesus died for our sins. And by saying that phrase, you've just admitted that Jesus took all your problems at the cross. So we don't have to go any further than that. You don't actually have to believe that Jesus actually was physically sick, even though he was, that he was physically sick at the cross to know that by his stripes we were healed. You don't even have to believe that, because he took death. Sickness is death. Disorder is death. Not being able to have children is death. And again, I'm not categorizing it as death to scare somebody. I'm categorizing it that way because when you categorize it as death, we all know Jesus died, which means that you put it in a category that says Jesus took that. took it to take it away from me. How gracious is God, is our God, that he would come in Jesus to take all of this away from us? That is too much to even describe in words how loving that is. I mean, he had the choice to do anything he wanted to do. I mean, he's God. He, you know, as much as he's our Father, you know, and he's someone that we have a relationship with, he's God still too. He's also God, and he could do anything he wants. And he chose to come in Christ and reconcile us to himself and saw us. Before you ever called out to God, he answered your call by coming to take away the problems of the world. And you say, well, that's not what John the Baptist said. He said the sin of the world. That's exactly what I said. He came to take away all the problems of the world, because sin is the one problem that then budded into death. And by taking sin, he took the root of every single problem in the whole world. And that's why when Jesus forgave the paralytic sins, he basically told the religious leaders nearby, I'm saying the same thing. Whether I say, get up and walk, or whether I say, your sins are forgiven, what's easier to say? I mean, like, they're the same thing. The church doesn't realize that, because the church will believe in forgiveness and yet still believe in sickness. You can't really, ultimately. Once you've believed in forgiveness, you have access to that healing already. It's a beautiful thing, though, what God's done for us. And it's like, now I'll tag this at the end also. Something I'm growing into. Just don't be afraid to look foolish. Be willing to say, I'm willing to look foolish if it means telling someone about Jesus. And just, this is normal and this is natural. Whether someone thinks it's normal and natural for you to talk like this, it is, though. God will tell you that's normal and natural. If it's what God believes, it's normal and natural. So if you want to talk to people about the gospel, I would say the number one hindrance, I would say, to us not just being open about the gospel, not forcing it on somebody like in an unnatural way, just be natural. Go with the desires of the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Just go with the desires of your heart. When you're talking to someone and something comes up, the thing that's just going to let that just kind of fly out your mouth without having to think too much about it and practice, you know, beforehand and all this stuff, is just don't be afraid to look foolish. In my opinion, that's probably, I would say, the number one, I'll speak for myself, would be like the number one hindrance to, because you don't want to either, I don't want to say something wrong, or what are they going to think, or like, just, if you're willing to look foolish, then you kind of, you're not trying to avoid it anymore. It's you trying to avoid looking foolish that keeps you not speaking the truth, or not saying the whole thing, or be okay with looking foolish. I'm not talking about making people feel uncomfortable on purpose and acting weird on purpose, but I'm talking about for the gospel's sake. Be okay with looking foolish. Just say, you know what, you're talking to somebody else. I'm okay with this conversation ending with them thinking I'm weird. Because that would be the fear, right? At least, or that or some other type of persecution. But it would be the fear of persecution that would hold you back and hold your tongue. So once you say, actually, I'm okay with someone not liking me, or I'm okay with someone thinking that's weird. Once you're okay with that, there's kind of nothing, you know, because again, because you have acceptance from the Lord, there's nothing really, in my opinion, to stop you from just speaking freely, right? All right. So I just want to mention that. Let's pray, and then we will continue. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Thank you so much, God, for your grace and for your blessings. Lord, we don't have to ask you for your blessing, Lord. We have received every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. So we come to you as blessed people today. And Lord, we just ask you to speak to us something, Lord, that perhaps though we're missing in our mind about how blessed we are. We just want, Father, learning you is about, as a believer, is just you filling in the gaps in our mind with what don't I know about how blessed I am. And that's all you're doing, Lord. So fill in those gaps, Lord. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding so that we can see an inheritance that we already have. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding so we can understand the hope, what we have for our future. In other words, Lord, like we were saying before, that we don't have to live with these things because we have a hope. We have an expectancy that the same power that raised you from the dead, Jesus, is toward us as we believe you. That's the power that's working in us as we believe, and that's why it gives us such a hope. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Jesus, we don't just rejoice that we have an inheritance inside of us. We rejoice that we have a hope, that we have the ability to expect these things to manifest in our life too. That, in other words, just means we don't have to live with this. So thank you so much, Jesus, for that fact. Even while we still have the ailment or bad habit or whatever it is going on, to know we don't have to live with it because we're free. That, we'd just start rejoicing right now. We already know it's already fixed and I'm free. Saying you have to live with something means you're in bondage. It's just fancy terminology for it. Bondage means you're stuck. That's what bondage means. You're stuck. And when you say you have to live with something, when a doctor says you're just going to have to live with this, they just said you are in bondage. Sometimes we're more willing to accept you just have to live with this, but if someone said that you're in bondage, we would know in Christianese that's not right. But let me just translate the doctor's language for you. Let me translate your own doubts for you. When you say or doubt that you have to live with something, you've just accepted the lie that you're in bondage to it. So translating that into Christianese, you realize now that's not true. When you say, I don't have to live with this, I might be experiencing it right now in my body, I might be experiencing it right now in my mind or in my action, but I don't have to live with this because Jesus died for a reason. That there's actually a difference between BC and AD. There's actually something happened there. A little event happened there that changes the way that I operate in this world, change the way that I relate to this world and the tribulation that's in it. I have a Savior that overcame the world, and I don't have to live with these things and experiencing them just like the world does. I am not in bondage. I am free. And free doesn't mean you may not be experiencing it right now. Free just means you can leave it. You can leave it behind. Thank you, Jesus. It's the difference between being handcuffed to something versus maybe just being associated with something right now, but you can just leave it behind. You are not handcuffed to this. You may be holding it right now, but you can drop it by the power of God. It's not handcuffed to you. It's not stuck to you anymore. For the world, it's handcuffed to them. Death is stuck to their sin. They will die in their sins if they don't repent and change their mind about Jesus. But you're not handcuffed to it anymore. You may say to yourself, well, what's the difference in my life? I'm sick just like my friends are sick. I'm going through this just like the world does. I look just like the world in my life. Temporarily, that may be true in the particular circumstance that you're so focused on, but you're missing this. Because you're righteous, they're handcuffed to it, and you're not. That's a little bit of a difference. You can do the same things over and over that you see the world does and is normal and natural for the world, but you can leave it behind as you grow in your knowledge. You're growing out of it. You're not handcuffed to it, but they are. They can't get out of it, of course, unless they receive Jesus like you did. That's a humongous difference. That's a humongous difference. So thank you so much, Jesus, that you came and you actually did something and you didn't have to. Thank you for loving us, Lord. It's a demonstration of love. We could have never just expected you to do that, but you did it voluntarily, like Miss Lindsay was praying before. You voluntarily came and voluntarily did these things. And this is the beautiful thing for everyone to hear. The Bible says, according to the good pleasure of his will. What a beautiful thing. That's just the cherry on top. To see everything that God did for us in Jesus, and then to say, it was my good pleasure to give you the kingdom, according to the good pleasure of my will. Again, in modern English, that just means, I just wanted to do it for you. I was pleased to do that. It was my pleasure to do that for you. That is something. That is something. That's something to meditate on for eternity. Thank you so much, Jesus, that it was your good pleasure by the Father working in you. It was the Father's good pleasure to smite you, Jesus. You were working together in the same heart, in the same will, because you are of the same. And I thank you so much, Father, for doing what you did for us. And that's the reason. It's because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of the wounds that he took unto death. I thank you, Father, because of the sin that you bore in your own body on the tree. It's why we don't have to live with sin and death anymore. And if we see some kind of lingering thing right now, it's not because it's your will for us, and it certainly is not because we have to live with it. It's just because we're growing. Father, fill in our minds the gaps of what we don't know. Don't just say, I already know Jesus, because that's not true in full. Father, fill in the gaps of what we don't realize of how blessed we are. And that filling in of the gaps, that thing in our mind, that deficit that we just don't see that thing, we don't see the inheritance quite well in that particular area. Fill in that gap for us, Lord. And when the light bulbs begin to go off, maybe there's one, maybe there's two or three, but when the light bulbs begin going off, that's going to manifest what we need in our body. And I thank you so much, Jesus, that you are our shepherd. And we're sitting here tonight, Lord, We may be at home listening to this, and we're saying to ourselves, Lord, okay, I have some lack of knowledge, Lord, perhaps. And I need to learn what you did in order to manifest these things. But the thing is, it's not quite like that. Jesus, we don't know. We don't know where in our mind it needs improving or adjusting. We don't know those things, Lord. That's the very definition of renewing our mind. We don't know certain things in our physical mind right now. But Jesus, as the shepherd, you're looking at our minds right now. God's looking at your mind right now. He's looking in your brain right now and looking at your thoughts. He knows your thoughts. He searches the hearts, the Bible says. He searches the inwards. He knows your thoughts. He sees all your thoughts. He sees what you know about him, and he sees what your physical mind does not know about him right now. And he knows what thought to put in there to trigger your healing, to trigger your manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, to trigger your behavioral change, to trigger the transformation in your life. He sees the thought. He sees what he needs to teach you. He sees the seed that he needs to put in your ground, your brain, to get the right kind of fruit out of your flesh. He sees that. That is what it's like to have a shepherd. It's not you just leading yourself, and I got to know more, and I got to know more. Well, we do want to know more, but it's our job to persist and to seek and to read our Bible and ask the Lord to show us and keep our minds on him and come to church. So we expose ourselves to the Word of God. But it's his job to lead you. You are not just a sheep leading itself. You have a shepherd. That means you don't teach yourself. God knows what you need to hear. Just continue to acknowledge the Lord as your shepherd. Continue to persist in exposing yourself constantly to the Word of God. God will supernaturally. Supernatural is just natural for us, okay? It's really not supernatural for us. When we say supernatural, we're talking about exceeding the nature of the world. But it's perfectly in line with our nature to hear the voice of God supernaturally and for him to speak to you exactly what you need to hear and confirm to you that that's him speaking to you. He can do that in your mind. That's why we're all saved, because at some point or another, we heard it and we just knew that's the truth I'm hearing. And God is able to put that seed in your mind and let you know, that's me, that's exactly what you needed to hear. Meditate on this, keep that seed in the ground, and you're going to bear the fruit that you need to see in your life. You don't have to live with it. This can be short-lived. This can be short-lived. Thank you, Jesus. When we rest in you, Lord, and observe your Sabbath, I believe it's Isaiah 58, when we observe your Sabbath, the Bible says that our healing will spring forth speedily. In Jesus' name, I thank you for healing springing forth speedily right now as people accept this. I thank you for transformation, healing from addictions, healing from behavioral issues, Lord. I thank you so much that there's healing for that too. Jesus took sin and death to give us righteousness and life. It's all encompassing. There's healing, Lord, for the behavioral issues in our life. There's healing for our bodies. There's healing, Lord, for us. There's power that you want to manifest through us to minister this to other people. And I thank you, Father, that this springs forth speedily in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you that we can even pray these things. We have it better than anyone on the entire earth. Thank you, Lord. We just love you so much, and we're so grateful to you, Lord. But you did it even before we said thank you. But we say thank you nonetheless for our benefit, Lord, to acknowledge that something's been done. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.